Wanted to take this opportunity to thank the CJF and Yeshiva University for not just welcoming me this morning to speak, but also on a more personal level, I used to work for the CJF and specifically for YU Torah Kol HaMidrash Yom Rishon before I went to get my degree from St. John's Psychology. And it was a great experience, a great working environment, so I wanted to give a personal thanks to the staff that I worked with directly, Karen Simon, Nussan Waitman, R.A. Charko, Rob Shore, Yoni Cohen, Menachem Lewin, Nechama Cohen. Some of these people are no longer at the CJF or with YU, but when I was here, it was an amazing place to be in, an amazing place to work. And of course, a special thanks to the Arbisfelds for all that they do for Yeshiva University. It's a privilege to be back working at YU now, working with a new set of colleagues, now at the Counseling Center. And what I notice is that nobody at YU has a job. Everybody has a calling. The staff at the Counseling Center exude a passion and a compassion for helping others, and they serve as a paradigm in a broad sense for the topic that we're going to examine this morning, and that's the psychology of chesed. We're going to explore together some Torah ideas in the realm of chesed, and we're going to use psychological framework in order to guide us. So again, you should have two handouts. One is the main handout, and then a supplemental sheet. The supplemental sheet we're going to be referring to has some of the psychological sources. The main handout has the Torah sources. So if you look at the supplemental handout for a moment, in terms of how to define psychology. So there's a lot of different possible explanations, definitions. I'm just going to go with one framework that I think is easy to understand and easy to follow. If you look at source number one, source A, the American Psychological Association, the APA, defines psychology as the study of mind and behavior. And I'm not going to read source B inside, but basically if you just spell that out a little bit and you think about psychology, you can think about it as the study of three components: behavior, and then when you talk about mind, we want to branch out mind into a lot of different things, but for us, for today, thought and emotion. So psychology is the thought of behavior, thoughts, and emotions. And if you look on the side, the right-hand side of the sheet, for those of you who are familiar with any cognitive behavior therapy, there's a famous triangle of thoughts, feelings, and behaviors. We're going to get back to that triangle in a moment. But the idea here is psychology studying these three aspects of humans. With this in mind, now go to your Torah source sheet. And we're going to look at source number one. So the Nesiva Sholom, the son of a Rebbe, you can find this in two places. So he has some essays on Pirkei Avos can be found in its own book on Pirkei Avos, and they're also if you have the five set book of Nesiva Sholom on the Torah, in the back of Vayikra, they put the same sources on Pirkei Avos. So commenting on Pirkei Avos, the Nesiva Sholom says as follows. So we know that there are, if you could think of three pillars, like we just said, thoughts, feelings, and behavior. Think about three pillars within Judaism. So what are our three pillars in the context of Pirkei Avos? Torah, Avodah, and Gemulas Chasadim. Good. So he's going to link three pillars of psychology. He's not thinking psychologically necessarily in a scientific framework, but he's going to link these three pillars to the ideas that we have in Pirkei Avos of Torah, Avodah, and Gemulas Chasadim. So if you look in source number one, the Nesiva Sholom says as follows. Shlosha Dvarim Elu. These three things, Al HaTorah, V'Al HaAvodah, V'Al Gemilos Chasadim, Shayachim LeGimel Chalkei HaAdam. They apply, they are relevant to the three parts of human beings. Torah, Shayachas L'Marechas HaSichlis Shel HaAdam. Torah is relevant to the wisdom, to the intelligence, to the thinking part, HaMoach V'Cholin Yanei Deos, the brain and all of our belief systems. Koach haTorah meir es nishmas Yehudi beor elakus vaal yada meir or elakus bemoach ubechol adeos vashkafa. So it's through Torah that we're able to show our cognitive powers. That's Torah, thoughts. Avoda, kideperish Rabbeinu Yonah shebizman beis hamikdash avoda haynu avodas hakorbanos. So as Rabbeinu Yonah says, the avoda in reference to this Mishnah in Pirkei Avos is referring to sacrifices. So now avoda, service, takes on the form of tefillah instead of sacrifices, like Chazal say in the Gemara in Tainus, al pasuk. ul'avda b'chol l'bavchem, ezu avoda shebelev, zu tefillah. That tefillah replaces korbanos, and skipping a few words, shfichas halev shel Yehudi lifnei Hashem Yisbarach, this outpouring of our heart before God, shivchi kamayim libeich nochach pnei Hashem, as the pasuk in Eicha says, we pour out our heart to Hashem in front of Hashem. Vizeh keneged ma'areches rikshei ha'adam. The avoda represents through tefillah our emotional experiences. Hatushukot v'haritzoniot shel alev chomed. It is our desires. It is what our heart desires to accomplish. It is through avoda that we're able to uncover the heart representing the emotions through tefillah, etc. Skip a few lines, five or six lines towards the end of the line. It starts after a period. Ugemilos chasadim. So we talked about Torah, we talked about avoda. What about gemilas chasadim? Ugemilas chasadim kolal chesed begufo v'chesed b'mamono. When it comes to chesed, it encapsulates chesed with our bodies through actions, and chesed through giving money. Bein la'aniyim u'bein la'ashirim, whether it's to poor people or people who have money. That's not the concept of chesed. It's not just doing things for people who don't have money. Shezen ogei l'chol eivarim. This applies to all of our limbs. Shemosav v'nosen migufo mamono la'acherim. We give of our body, of our money, to others. V'al'yedei pe'ulos chesed, through the actions of chesed, meir or alakos b'chol eivarim. That's how we're able to show God through our actions, through our limbs. So right here, we have this same paradigm of Torah, avodah, and gemilas chasadim representing thoughts, feelings, and behavior, and this encapsulates the entire, as the Sanhedrin Rebbe says, this encapsulates the Chelkei Ha'adam, all of our components of people. So this, I think, gives us a framework to start thinking about how are we going to understand chesed from in the realm of psychology. So what from the first part, what are we connecting? Chesed is what part of psychology? It's the study of behavior. And I think we all have this mindset. When we think chesed, we think about what actions am I going to be doing? But that's only part of the picture. I think we're making a mistake if we stop and we only think about chesed as behavior. So if you go back to that supplemental sheet and look at that cognitive behavior therapy triangle, so if you notice, it might be a little bit light in the photocopy, but it's not just lines connecting thoughts, feelings, and behaviors. There's arrows, bidirectional arrows, that influence each side here. Meaning, what this triangle represents, and we'll see the Sanhedrin Rebbe says the same exact thing in a moment, is that thoughts influence feelings, and feelings influence thoughts. Thoughts influence behavior, and behavior influences thoughts. Feelings influence behavior, and behavior influence feelings. So this goes in every single direction. These are interconnected. So it would be false to just pinpoint, here's a behavior, and then isolate that from thoughts and feelings. They're all interconnected. They have to do with each other. You can't just isolate one. Chesed is not just actions, because obviously, when I perform an action, what do I have to do in order to perform that action? I have to think. And there's different levels of thinking that can promote different levels of action. And as we know, when we give, when we do good for others, is there no emotion involved as well? Obviously there is. So what I want to do this morning with you is to explore not the behavior aspects. I think the behavior aspect is pretty much, you know, you could open up a Shulchan Aruch, you could find a lot of shiurim on what behaviors do I have to do when it comes to chesed. What I want to explore with you is to uncover the thoughts and the emotions that are involved with chesed. So if you look back to the Slonim Rebbe, in source number one, just to bring out this point of how everything's interconnected, again, this is the same first page, it probably would be helpful for you to just keep this supplemental page side by side, because we're going to be going back and forth to it. So, still on that first page of the main handout, on the left-hand column, he spells out what we just said explicitly. Milvad ha-shaychus ha-myuchedes shel Torah le-moach avoda le-lev u'gmilas chasadim. But yes, I just told you that Torah is thoughts. Gemilas Chasadim is behavior. Avoda is emotions. But Makiv Kol Echad Mehem as Kol Gimel Chelkei Adam. Each one incorporates each of the other ones as well. Ukemo Shematzinu B'Torah, when it comes to Torah, the Maharal says, Shemadregas Ben Torah, Hi Lo Rak B'Moach V'Asechal, being a Ben Torah isn't just about how well you think. Ella Shako Mitsioso, he Mitsios Acheris. Your whole entire being is different. Vafilu Bisaro Shabentor Bisar Acher. Even your skin, your body, your limbs are a different type of limb. Humimi She'eno Bentor, if compared or contrasted to somebody who's not a Bentora. Kehefer Shaben Bisar Adam, Bisar Behemashu Suk Shona Lechalutin. Different than Behema, that's not our point for now. V'hainu sha'af ki ha'ras ha'torah hi b'moach, ach kol mitziyusa mishtana yadei ha'torah. It's not just about thought, your whole being transitions, changes, based on your understanding of Torah. And then he says the same thing for Avoda, and I'm not going to read the rest inside, but feel free to do it on your own. The same thing for Avoda. Avoda is not just emotions. Emotions are influenced by thought. Emotions are influenced by behavior. Same thing with Gemilas Chasadim. It's not just about behavior. Our behavior is influenced by thoughts. Our behavior is influenced by emotions. So it's not just three categories. It's three categories that are intertwined, interconnected, that influence and bounce off of each other. So let's start with thoughts. So if you flip, I'm not sure how your pages are done, but it would be either you flip the page or turn the page. I'm not sure. Is it set page 3 or page 2? So it should say part 2 on top, Smart Chesed. Okay, so it should be the next source on the Hebrew sheet. And then again, keep your supplemental handout parallel to that. So in the realm of thought, so what relevance does thought have to Chesed? So let's do a little bit of the psychology first. So there's something called pro-social behavior. Pro-social behavior is the jargon term for chesed. It's doing a behavior that's pro-social, that is for promoting social interactions. So what relevance does that have to intelligence? How does thinking relevant? Are smarter people more likely to do chesed? Is there a relation? Is there a correlation between being intelligent and being helpful? What thoughts, what level of thinking do I need in order to be able to help other people? So if you look in source number 2A, just as a brief rundown, and I'm just going to highlight a few things. Again, feel free to go in more detail on your own. I gave you the primary sources for that purpose if you want to look it up. But in terms of, there's a concept of intelligence, sort of a subsection of intelligence called social intelligence. And there's a debate, is social intelligence fundamentally different than general intelligence, or is it its own thing? We're not going to get into that now, but in terms of components of social intelligence, that source number 2A there spells out some of the important things that we need to know when it comes to interacting with human beings. So one of them there is cognition of behavioral units, the ability to identify the internal mental states of individuals. So how well do I know what's going on in your mind? Obviously, I'm never going to know perfectly, but some people are better at understanding what is going on in other people's heads. Cognition of behavioral classes, skip that one for now. Next one, cognition of behavioral relations, the ability to interpret meaningful connections among behavioral acts. So we look at other people and what they're doing, and can we connect the one thing that they did today to something that they did tomorrow? Is there a connection? Can we create some level of narrative in our head to understand what other people, the consequences, the sequence of actions that other people are doing? It keeps going, the ability to interpret sequences of social behavior, the ability to respond flexibly in interpreting changes in social behavior. I think something's going to go a certain way, and then it changes, the person, throws me a curveball, can I adapt to that? Can I adapt to that social situation? And then finally, the ability to predict what will happen in an interpersonal situation. So these are all thoughts that are important when it comes to chesed, when it comes to doing kind acts. We have to be able to interpret and understand what the other person is thinking and what their actions are going to entail, what the next thing they're going to be doing is. What are they lacking? What did they used to do and now they can't do because they don't have something that they used to have? And if you look in source number 2B here, this is from Nancy Eisenberg. Her name is all over when you search pro-social behavior. She does a lot of research in this area, and I think this is an important way of summing up the role of thinking when it comes to chesed. So source 2b says, before we help others, act considerately, or donate to charity, we have to perceive and interpret a situation and make inferences about others' feelings. We also evaluate their need and desires and decide which actions will be most effective and beneficial to them. Finally, we must formulate and execute a plan for pro-social action. In short, mature pro-social action involves several fundamental cognitive processes: perception, reasoning, problem solving, and decision making. When we want to do something good for others, we need to think. We have to think, what is their need? And we have to think, what the best way for me to give them that need is. 2C, feel free to look at it on your own, basically points out that there happens to be a correlation between intelligence and pro-social behavior. That in general, people who are intelligent do more and do better, to some extent, chesed. Doesn't mean that it has to be that way, but in general, there is a correlation between those two things. So now let's look and explore how this fits in to this week's Parsha. So now in the regular primary handouts that you have, again, this is called Part 2, Smart Chesed, Social Intelligence, and Pro-Social Behavior. So we have here, Parshas Chayesara is a paradigm of chesed. We have Rivka, right? And if we look in terms of what is going on in this story, we read it at the first glance, doesn't seem to make any sense. What's this servant of Avram doing, trying to get Rivka to choose? This is a test to see if she's going to be the proper person for Yitzchak. Is it some sort of divination? Is there some sort of like secret going on here? It doesn't seem to make any sense. But what we'll see is the Mefarshim, if you do a close reading, the Mefarshim are going to tell us that there actually is something really important. The test is not some hocus-pocus idea that the servant of Abraham is trying to figure out, you know, flipping a coin, seeing who's going to be the right one. But rather, within what he expects and how Rivka responds is an indication that she is somebody who's not just a balas chesed, but somebody who is intelligent balas chesed. She embodies, again, what I call here, smart chesed. So let's briefly read the psukim, source number 2 here. So he says, Vaya nara asher amar eleha atina chadech ve'eshteh, the girl who says, here, tip the pitcher and drink, va'amra shesay, and she says, drink, v'gam gimalecha, ashken, also to your camels I will give, osahu chachtel abdechal Yitzchak, uva'idak yasis chesed, Im Adoni. And that's going to prove to me that this is the right one, this is for Yitzchak, and that God did a chesed with me. Again, the word chesed's there. Interesting also, just to point out, the word gemalecha, camel, gemilut chesedim, right? So that's, leave that now, think about what the connection to that is. Vayihu terem kilal daber, so before he's finished, he's not even finished talking, right away, when he finished talking, v'nei Rivka yotzeis, Asher Yulada Lebusuel, so Rivka comes out and we give the lineage of where she's from. Next pasuk, Vanara Tovas Mares, so she was cute, she was good looking. Ma'od Besulav Ishlo Yedaava Terda Inaba Temalecha Daba Ta'al, so she goes, she does her own thing. Vayarata Eved Likrasa, the Eved runs towards her to greet her by Yomer. So here's going to be the important words to focus on. Hagmiini na ma'at ma'im mikadech. So pour out for me a little bit of water from your pitcher. Vatomer, and that's his first statement to her. Now she has to respond to that. So pasuk 18, Vatomer shesei Adoni, vatimaher, vatored kadal yada, vateshkehu. So she says, drink, my master. And she quickly, relevant, reminiscent of Avraham also, she quickly took the pitcher down and poured it for him, or actually more precisely, and gave him to drink. It sounds like she's literally like pouring it into his mouth, and we'll see why that's important in a second. He finished. I'll give also your camel. So she waits till after he's done eating and says, now I'll also give the camels. Remember, he didn't mention anything about camels. This is part of the test. How is she going to respond to the fact that he needs, and apparently perhaps the camels needs as well, adim kilu lishtos, and I'll give it until they finish drinking as well, and she does it quickly, and everything's great, and they live happily ever after, right? So let's figure out what exactly is the test, what does he want her to do, how does she pass the test, how does she infer What social cognitions, what social intelligence is she demonstrating here by her ability to figure out what he needs and how she should respond properly? So let's start with source number three. There are two source number threes. So I always seem to make a mistake on that. I guess my numbering intelligence isn't that great. But if you go to the second source number three, so skip the first source number three. The second source number three is the Malbim. So the Malbim says as follows. This is a close reading of the Psukim. V'hayaha na'ara, skip the parentheses for a second. Asher amar elah atinach adech v'ashteh. So the girl who says that, that I am going to tip my pitcher and you could drink. Zesha esha'al dafka shehi tateh hakad. So the fact that what he's doing a close reading here. She should be the one who's pouring the jug herself. Why is that? Why is it specifically that she should be pouring the jug? Shezet torach gadol, shetitzarch lahorid akad ma'al shechma el yadeh lashkososi. So she has to, this is a big burden on her, that she's going to have to take it down and from her shoulders in order to be able to drink, give the drink to me. Valo roi shetichas, she should have been angry. Like, you're going to make me take this down and do it. If you really, really want something, you get it yourself. You can't go to the well, I don't know, for some reason, but okay, but you're going to make me take it down and then pour you? Why can't you just, especially if she's 3 years old, which I'm not saying is the pshat, she's probably pretty short, dip in and she should be able to take it herself. Well, he should be able to take it herself. Why is he making her pour it for him? You yourself take it and drink. You're going to make me take down this from my shoulders? It's a burden. So what's this all about? So this is a simon, a sign, not just of how good of a person she is, of her chesed, but also of her wisdom. Sha'az ro'oi shetachshov beliba ha'ish hazeh bevada yeso eza ke'ev biyadav. The fact that he's asking me to do this demonstrates, unless he's crazy, which is possible, but demonstrates that there's something wrong with him physically. He can't do that. The fact that he's asking me to pour it for him, something's off here. So now she realizes this. There's something off. He can't take it from the well himself, and he can't pour it himself, he can't get it himself. So if he can't pour it himself, now she's making a kavachome here, all the more so. Obviously, he can't pour to the camels. And this proves that she also has compassion for the camels. So we have here is a test, not just of chesed, but of intelligence. There's something off here. Eliezer, the Eved Avram, purposefully throws in this monkey wrench to see how is she going to react. Obviously, there's something off. Maybe he has some physical disability here, and that's why he can't do it. Therefore, I'm going to volunteer and do it for him. Intelligence and chesed together. Skip number four and go to source number five for a second. And before we read source number five inside, source number five is from the Beis Halevi, the original, or I guess there was probably some before him also, but Rabbi Yosef Dov Halevi Soloveitchik. This is the Rav's great-grandfather, the Beis Halevi. So before we read this source, there's a story about the Beis Halevi that I think encapsulates this idea perfectly. So it's a famous story. The story goes that it was right before Pesach, and a woman approached him and asked him the following halachic shaila. Is it acceptable for me to use, instead of wine for the Arba Kosos, is it acceptable for me to use milk? That was her question. So the Beis Halevi, maybe he gave her a few seconds to, he didn't say no right away, maybe didn't want her to feel bad, I don't know exactly how the story went, but he eventually told her, no, it's unacceptable, and he goes and gives her the equivalent of $200. Right? And his students go to him afterwards and say, why'd you give her so much money? She needed wine, okay, so give her $50, it'll cover a bottle or two of wine. So the Beis Halevi said, what? You guys can already... Yeah, she's asking for milk, she obviously doesn't have enough money for meat either. So the story, again, I think embodies this idea. When it comes to chesed, it's not just enough to just do. And like, okay, you need help, I'll give you help. Got to take a step back and think, what's the actual need of the person who's asking me this question? Can I discern what's really going on here? What's underneath the surface question? Maybe she's too embarrassed to ask that question. So the Beis Halevi, again, embodies, impersonates this concept of smart chesed, discerning the true needs of a person. Now with this story in mind, let's see what the Beis Halevi says on this week's Parsha. So he says as follows, source number 5. He quotes the pasuk Vayana Ra Sheramar Ela Agmeini Nama Mayim Begam Malach Ashkeu So Chachta. So Yesh Lomar, we can say as follows: Da Apal Gabda Kol Hayab Derech Nichlush V'Simon. Even though presumably there's some sort of superstitious thing going on here, Hayab Derech Chachma Ksas. There's some element of wisdom going on here. This isn't just the supernatural. There's some natural tendencies going on here as well. Ki Ratzal Nasososa Bechol Amidos Shela. So he wanted to test her in terms of her character. Ima Tovos Heina Bimheim Bahaskala. Again, two aspects here. Not just is she a good person, but is she smart? Is she thinking through? Is there some sort of social intelligence here? Rishona im tovahi bimezga litem lishtos la'isha eno makaros osa. So, can I? This is a important question. So, I don't know this guy. There's some guy at the well. He asked for water. So, I'm going to give him from my bottle of water. Or somebody on the train says they're thirsty. They're dying of thirst. So, you're going to give them your Poland Spring bottle of water, and then what? They're going to take it back. Right, so we don't know who this guy is. They didn't have other cups. There's no plastic cups, right? So they didn't have any other cups. I want it from yours because there's nothing else there. We don't know what diseases this guy has. So there's some element of test here, not just in terms of chesed, but in terms of just being smart, of being, wise with your own health. You want to lead a family, you got to know how to take care of yourself. But here's the true test. So her character is she wants to give, right? But we also don't want to be diseased. So now what are we going to do afterwards? So I'm going to give him the water, but I'm not going to drink it, bring it back home to my parents. So yira matase b'mayim shenotru im tisaim labayis einab askalav. She brings it back home. That doesn't make sense. That's not wise. Ki ulai b'mes piv enonaki. Vatil rok bakari. There was some backwash here, right? Maybe his spit went back in there. We can't drink this. We can't bring this back home. Vim hi maskelas in la lisa mosar amayim labayisav. She's smart. She will not bring the water back to her house. But what's the other side? So what's her other option? Spill it out. Vim tishpoch osam hare hi mevaze oso. That's going to embarrass him if she spills it all out. Ki bizayon gadol hu lo sheshofechas hamayim yan shasa umayim. The second he drinks it, okay, I'm sorry, I can't trust you. You probably have some level of disease, so I'm going to spill it out. So that would have been an embarrassment to him. So what's the solution? I'll give it to your camels. So one is she's healthy. She's smart. She also has derech eretz. She has chesed. She's smart. She takes care of herself. And she's intuitive. She's able to figure out, to problem solve, what's the best way to help this person at this point in time. That is smart chesed. This isn't just about behaviors. This is about thought and thinking through the problem, thinking about what the needs of the other person is as well. That is the only way to have a bigger, more complete type of chesed. If you turn the page to the next source, it's part 3. Just briefly, I think this is just an interesting counterpoint to it. So Rav Nevensal, is the chief rabbi of the Old City in Yerushalayim, takes a slightly different spin on this and has a different message that I think is also important. And he says that it's not a test of rationality, but rather of irrationality. Meaning that if you go through the story seems like surreal. And what does he want? What does she want? What is she giving? What's going on here? And he says that that's the point. The point here is that on a rational level, if you're thinking just in terms of normal human interactions, this story doesn't make any sense. The test for Rivka was, even though this doesn't make any sense, even though this guy should just go do this himself, I'm this one girl, again, however old she is, she's this one girl, he's there, there are other people there, like, what is going on? Why is he asking her specifically? And then the camel's like, so the idea, Rav Nevensal says, we're not going to read it inside, but what he says is that the whole idea is that that's what chesed's all about. Chesed's about, not that you're not thinking, but that even though you're thinking, and even though this whole thing doesn't make sense, if there's somebody that needs help, you go do it. You don't ask questions. You don't try to say, why don't you do it yourself? I don't understand. Can't you figure it out? No. Chesed requires of us, yes, to think through, but even when it doesn't make sense, to do it anyway if that's what the person needs. And Rav Nevensal goes on to explain that she learns this. This is the paradigm from Avraham. This is why Avram needs somebody like this, because in last week's parsha, the whole thing of the chesed also, with Avram running around, also this seemed not to make that much sense on a rational level, just thinking things through. The back and forth just seemed so extreme, and chesed to some extent, some translate the source of chesed, the word actually means extreme, and chesed requires us to sometimes just go above and beyond what seems to be a normal interaction. So we think it through, but even if it doesn't make sense, if that's what the person needs, that's what I'm going to do. That's a side point from Rav Nevensal. What I want to focus on for the rest of the time is in part 4, 5, and 6, and the ideas overlap a little bit. So the basic structure that I did within the sources of dividing it between 4, 5, and 6 is somewhat fuzzy, because we'll see that the ideas are going to overlap. But I want to look at the motivation, the intention, and the emotion behind chesed as well. So I think we covered basic thinking, intelligent types of processes. Now let's go in terms of what is the reason? What's the motivation? What intent should I be having when I perform acts of chesed? And we'll see how this relates as well to empathy, to the emotional experience that encompasses chesed as well. So take a look back at your supplemental sheet for a second. Let's give some framework here from the psychological sources to give a little bit of a, it'll help us structure the Torah sources. So go to the second side of the page where it says source number 3, moral reasoning and motivation. So some of you, if you took an intro to psych class or if you remember, this is a pretty famous idea, Kohlberg's levels and stages of moral development. For those of you who aren't, don't worry, we're not going to test you on this, but I'm just going to bring out one or two important points that I think will help frame, again, the Torah sources here. So when it comes to moral reasoning, why is it that things are right and wrong? So Lawrence Kohlberg laid out what he thought were different stages of how we progress developmentally from being a child to an adult, how our ideas of what's right and wrong develops over the course of our lifetime. So just to give one or two examples, when we start off, stage 1 is everything's right or wrong dependent upon what? Whether or not I get a reward or punishment, right? So if my parents punish me, that must mean, hopefully if they do it in the right way, I interpret and I internalize that this is something that I shouldn't be doing, that's the wrong thing to do. And if I get rewarded, that's the right thing to do. Obviously, we progress over time and we try to develop a more mature way of thinking about whether things are right or wrong, hopefully. So he goes through 6 stages. The 6th stage is what he calls the universal ethical principle. And that's what, and you have it here in your handout, what is right is a matter of conscience, derived from universal principles. So the reason why I do what's right is because that's just, it's internal, it's inherent in the world, there's a conscience, this is just drives me to do what is right. If you look at stage 4, which is before, 2 or 3 lines above that, so Stage four is law and order orientation. Maintaining the social order and doing one's duty is good. So the reason why I do something, the reason why I think something is right or wrong is because there's some level of order. There's some level of authority that tells me that this is what I should be doing, and that's what I do it. That's why I do it. So just big picture here for us, in terms of Kohlberg's hierarchy, and how start thinking about how we, what our reasoning is, why we do things that are right. So do we do things that are right because there's an authority telling us to do things that are right? In this case, is it a police officer? Is it the legislative branch? Is it the Torah? Is it a religious principle? That the reason why this is right and this is wrong is because this is what an authority that I respect and I defer to tells me is right or wrong? Is that why something's right or wrong? Or is something right or wrong because internally I know that's right or wrong? It's conscience. It's inside. It's a universal aspect here, regardless of who tells me what to do or not to do. So from a religious, from a Torah standpoint, what's my motivation? In Kohlberg's hierarchy, authority is lower, is on a lower level than doing it because I think it's right. So what does the Torah have to say about this? Obviously, we're not going to give a comprehensive discussion of this, but I want to point to a few sources here that I think bring out this tension. Do I do things because God tells me, or do I do things because it's the right thing to do? So if you look at, back to your regular source sheets, we are now on part four here, source number seven. So source number seven, Pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim says, "Im kesef talva es ami." If you lend money to people in my nation, esani imach, etc., etc. Basically, in terms of lending money, the pasuk starts off and says, "If you lend money," and the commentators are bothered. If I lend money, it's a mitzvah. I have to lend money. So what's going on here? So Rashi here in source number eight says, source number eight is going on a different pasuk that also starts with the word im, which should mean, even though we translate it as if, in the context of that other pasuk, should mean you have to. So it's the same idea here. On the one hand, the pasuk says if, and the concept should not be if, but demand, you have to. So Rashi says, "V'mizbech ha'vanim Rabbi Shmuel Omer kol im ve'im shebetorah reshus." Every time it says the word im in the Torah, it means you have an option, a choice. Accept three times. Chutz mishlosha. This pasuk about the Mizbeach Avanim. And then our pasuk that we mentioned where I bold and italicized the two lines down. V'chen im kesef talbe. Chovahu. It's an obligation. So the word im always means option. Accept three places. One of our places when it comes to lending money. So why? If it's a demand, if it's a command, say you have to. If it's not, say if. So why are you going, why are you creating this confusion here? So the Maharal in source number 9 has a beautiful development on this, and as a broader picture, I just want to reference for you, Rabbi Yitzchak Blau has an article that talks about some of these issues as a secondary source. He analyzes some of these sources here. I think it's an important thing to look at. It's very interesting. You could find it on YU Torah, I believe. It's called The Implications of a Jewish Virtue Ethic. Such as Ayin Sham, look there if you want to look into this a little bit more. But the Maharal says as follows. Let's read this inside. Source number 9. Uvelashon kasher heim mishamshim. Yesh lefaresh. Masha kasav lashon im apal gav dechobahim. So why do we say if it's an obligation? Mibnesh im yasa michova ki ilu mekayim gzeres hamelach. If the reason why you do it is because it's an obligation. It's authority. This is what the melach, this is what the king, this is what God told me to do. Ein hadavar lerotzon lahakadosh baruch hu. That's not what God wants. If the reason you're lending money, you're doing chesed, is because God told me to do this, that's not what He wants. V'tzarech shiya'aseh mirtzono. You have to do it internally because I want to do it. Va'az kishiya'aseh mirtzono hu merutza. And if you do it because you want to do it, that's what God wants. If you skip down to the next bold and underline, italicized around seven lines after that, v'chein Im halove kesef ki'ilu mekayim gzeres hamelech, if I lend money because I want to do it because God told me to do it, the king told me to do it, the authority told me to do it, ein ze mitzvah, that's not the mitzvah. Now, I don't know how strong of a statement that is. He's saying you don't accomplish the mitzvah, or is that not the way that you, not the perfect way to do the mitzvah? It can be pretty extreme to say you didn't get any mitzvah, but it's definitely not the complete mitzvah. If the reason you're doing this is because God told you to do it, it's not good. Kitzarach shiyah mitzvahs halva'a miritzono belev tov. You have to lend because you want to with a good heart. Kizichsiv af benesina, when it comes to giving, v'lo yera levavcha. You shouldn't give with a bad heart. This is fascinating. I have to do it because I want to do it. But there's a tension here. I think there's an important point to point out, because at the end of the day, why? So let's answer the question. Why do I do chesed? What's my motivation? Why do I do it? So the Maharal saying, not necessarily everybody agrees with this, but the Maharal saying, because you want to do it. But it's fascinating that the Torah teaches that point in the context, it's still a chovah. Right? You still have to do it. So it's this tension between, yes, you want to develop the internal motivation to do it, but you still have to. So where does that fit in Kohlberg? I don't know, right? It's sort of like in the middle. Kohlberg's hierarchy has actually been critiqued because it doesn't apply well to religious individuals. Because religious individuals answer his question that level 4 is the best. I do things because God tells me to do it. And to them, that's the highest. To him, it's middle. So it's actually been critiqued. You can't use it that well. In Judaism here, we see there's a tension here. I do things because there's a mitzvah, but the reason really why I should do it is because I want to do it, because I feel like doing it. I think if you look at source number 10, you can do it on your own. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a similar thing. There might be a nuanced difference. But let's see how this plays out also in some other contexts. Look at now part 5, source number 11. This is overlapped. Again, I'm conflating some psychological concepts, but I think it's the overall point for illustrative purposes. I think it's just simpler to mush these all together. So the Tenuas HaMus here in source number 11 discusses what should be, similar idea, what should be my intentions when I do chesed. So Tenuas HaMus is a 5-volume set put out by Rav Dov Katz, and it outlines some of the Musar greats from the past generations, and it's a great resource to have. Here he's talking about a specific Musar great by the name of Rav Zalman Katz. So Rav Zalman Katz, it says as follows. So Hitztainus Meyuchedes Nodas Rav Zalman Keish Chesed Uval Lev Tov. So Rav Zalman was known as being a great Baal Chesed, always did for others, had a good heart. Midas Tovo Karna Bepanav. We see it. It was sort of like leaked out how great of a Baal Chesed he was. He loved doing good. And he did it l'shem shemayim, l'kayim achas ha-mitzvos ha-ikara shebetorah, to accomplish, to fulfill one of the essential mitzvos of the Torah. But here's where it gets interesting. Misaprim alav. It is said about him, shelifnei shaya meitiv im hazulas. Before he did an act of Chesed, he used to say, Haya Omer, Hinani Muchan Umzuman Lakaya Mitzvah Zu Lashem Yichud Kutcha Brichu Ushinte. He used to say Lashem Yichud. Some of us may be familiar that before a certain mitzvah, before eating matzah, you'll see it in the Haggadah, before shaking lulav, you'll see it in the Siddur. We say Lashem Yichud, I'm having in mind that this is in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Hashem. He used to do this before he did a mitzvah of Chesed. Never seen anybody do this, but this is what he used to do. Kederach sheYehudim yireim regilim lachaben b'kiyum mitzvah shebein adam l'makom. So now, just imagine, if we take this, I don't know how the stories went, but you know, he's going to pay a shiva call, and he used to, right before he sat down, he used to say, Hine muchan mzum l'kayim mitzvah, etc., etc., and he sits down to talk to the person, right? And in every so it's, to us that sounds strange, and I'm not sure that everybody there at his time was so forward either. So continuing reading, Basher ein hevdal bein mitzvah shel chesed bein mitzvos ase acheros. It's like any other mitzvos ase, chesed, lulav, sukkah, etc. Matzah, sukkah, lulav, ve'ulai hi od chashuvan mikulon. It's probably even more important because it comes from Barach the Hafle Recha Kamocha. It's a cloud gadol b'Torah. That was Rav Zalman. What was the pushback to that? So the next paragraph, Yesh mi ishei ha-musar shelo iskimu l'derech zu. There were those who disagreed with this. Sheyesh l'chavin b'mitzvah shebein adam l'chaveru yishem yichur kutcher brichu. Basher l'fi daitam tzrichem l'kayim mitzvos misug zem mitoch regesh tiv'i. Why should we do mitzvos bein adam l'chaveru? Not because God told me to do it, which we formulate through a l'shem yichur, but because I want to do it. I want to help you. Not because God told me to, because I care about you. That's why there was a pushback. Some of the Bali Musar didn't like this. Mitocha tov hanovea mitocha lev. I want it internal. My conscience should be able to motivate me to do this. V'yesh shehosifu bikoros. There are those who argued further. Shekabanas kazos pogas lefamim bahargashas mikabala tova. It's going to hurt the other person's feelings. The only reason I'm doing this is because God told me. You, I don't really care about so much. But God told me that I should do this, so I'm going to do it. That maybe that's not what I had in mind, but that's how it could be internalized by the person who I'm doing the chesed with. And this gets back to social intelligence and social cognitions. I have to know how the other person is going to react. And if I think they're going to react by being hurt by what I'm doing, then I have to stay away from it. So there was a pushback here. He said, yes, shem yichud, I'm doing this because God told me to do it. Others said, no, you should do this because you feel like you want to do it. And the shem yichud detracts from that. And in addition, the shem yichud makes the other person feel bad. Source number 12, I'll leave for you guys to do on your own if you want to see it. It talks about what kavana do I have to have when doing a mitzvah. Do I need to have, there's a whole debate, mitzvah srichas kavana. When I do a mitzvah, do I have to have intention or not? So some say yes. Does that apply to Ben Adam Lechavero too? Ayin Sham, you can look at source number 12 to see that on your own. Now, what I want to do for the last section here is look on the role of empathy. And as we'll see, this is related to everything that we've spoken about until now. So if you look at source number, go to your psychology sheets for a second. Source number 4A in your psychology sheets. So this is a fascinating debate. And this debate holds true to my heart because when I was undergrad here, in my experimental psychology class, I don't know why, but for some reason I chose this topic as my experiment to do. And ever since then, I've been doing more research into it. It's a fascinating, fascinating discussion. And the question is there anything, is there a concept of altruistic helping? Is it possible for me to say that when I help somebody else, it's because, not because I get anything out of it, but because it's completely for them? Does that concept exist? So you might say, yes, of course it exists. I'm doing this not for me, I'm doing it for them. Some psychologists say no. Why? Because anytime I do something for somebody else, I get a little bit out of that too. So what do I get out of that? So look in source 4A. It's an article by Daniel Batson. He's the go-to on this topic. So just quoting a little bit from here, the empathy altruism hypothesis claims that empathic concern felt for a person in need produces altruistic motivation to relieve that need. So he's under the assumption that it could. You could have altruism. When I feel empathy to help you and then I act, that could be considered altruistic. But here's the other side. Three possible self-benefits of empathy-induced helping have been identified, producing three egoistic alternatives. So here's the three other possibilities. Number one, or A, aversive aroused reduction. Reducing the empathic concern caused by witnessing another in need. So if I see you suffering, so my empathy is going to come into play, and what am I going to do? How am I going to feel? I'm also going to feel bad. So when I help you, what am I also doing? I'm making myself feel better. So that's called aversive aroused reduction. I am decreasing the amount of negative feelings I have by helping you. So maybe that's not so altruistic. Look at B, punishment avoidance. Avoiding empathy-specific material, social, and self-punishments. Maybe by me helping you, now if I didn't, what would happen if I didn't help you? So now I would look bad. I'd be mean. People wouldn't like me. So now I have to help you, not for you necessarily, but because I need to look good. C, reward seeking. gaining empathy-specific material, social and self-rewards, similar idea. Basic point here is that when I help you, is it possible to say that I'm helping you just for you, or is there always some level of me benefiting as well? And if there is an element of me benefiting as well, does that reduce the fact that I can still call this altruistic? So what do the Torah sources have to say about this? So if you look now back to your Torah sources, source 13 and 14, two very, very fascinating ideas. Again, this is not the entirety of the topic, just pointing out, highlighting some main points here. Source number 13 is the Be'er Chaim Chaim on this week's Parsha. He says, V'hine, chiluk gadol, yesh bein ha'osa chesed, l'midas ha'merachem, kegavoa shamayim yala aretz. He distinguishes here between a typology, a person who is considered a chesed person, versus somebody who is a compassionate person. We might have put those two together. He's distinguishing for an important reason in his logic, as we'll see in a second. There's somebody who does chesed, and there's somebody who's compassionate. What's the difference? Kizet tamid rodef achar zeh umaktim lahachnis orchem besoch beso. So I would say what he's describing here is a chesed personality. Is somebody who, like an Avram, like a Rivka, who runs after chesed, always wants to do chesed, brings guests into their house. Machilo, mashkin, besimcha, betuv levav, I feel good about it, I'm happy, I'm excited. Ad ein shir, there's no limit. V'lav davka ani lagamre, doesn't just have to be somebody poor, she'en lo malecho, yitin lo pas la'ach yoso, yeah, I'll give the ani, but also, ki mafilu ashir, shani uboso sho, because an ashir, sometimes, a rich person at that moment is considered poor, whether it's psychologically poor, or maybe just in terms of the needs at that moment. So, a baal chesed, somebody who has the personality of chesed, just goes, does, always, for everybody. I keep wanting to do. How does that contrast with a compassionate person? When does somebody who only gives because they feel empathy, because they feel compassion, when do they give? Only when their heart is pulled by the fact that there's somebody here who's in tremendous amount of distress. So when I see an ani, that incites a compassion within me, and therefore I go and help them. That's good. But that's not a chesed personality. I have less opportunities to do chesed, because if my empathy isn't incited, I'm not going to do anything. Continuing, so I have to see the person in pain in order for it to motivate me. So let's say I'm in a nice community. I live X, Y, or Z place where everybody has nice houses. I don't see aniyim. I don't see poor people. How often am I going to do chesed? Not that often, because the reason why I do chesed, my personality is only to do chesed when I feel empathy. That's not enough. The Adra Master Pun of Shlo Yira Bitsarasim. I'll even go farther than that. I'm not even gonna look out for them because I don't want to feel that. Kiyomar She'enu Yachol Abit Bitsaram, Kiyichav Livavo Bitsar. When I see them, I'm gonna feel too bad. So I'm gonna avoid that. So a chesed personality, which presumably is what we want to incorporate, a chesed personality is something that I need to inculcate that no matter what. I'm always going to want to do that. I'm going to look for it, etc. If I'm just relying on the emotional experience to motivate me, not enough. We'll finish with this last source, source number 14. The Masayim Sofim, quoting a story from the Rebbe of Pershiska. It's a long story, hard to read. I'll read it outside and we'll pick up with the last few lines that are important for here. But the basic story goes as follows. So the Rebbe was traveling one day from Danzig to a town called Sheps, and there was this famous poor rabbi named Rav Zalman. He was a chassid, he was a very, very important man, but didn't have any money. So, long story short, and I'm embellishing a little bit, but not really. If you read it, it's a pretty fascinating story. He goes out of his way to give this guy and his family everything. Lavish meals, clothing, you know, time after time. Just basically gave them so much more than they ever expected and they ever wanted, and he gave it all to them. Then at the end, after all this happens, and they're already back on their feet, they have money, they have clothes, they have food. So the Rebbe goes and gives him some more money. Gives him, I don't know, a dollar. And Rav Zalman goes to him, he says, I don't understand. You basically, you know, resuscitated my life. You gave me everything. What are you giving me a dollar for right now? What is this accomplishing? So let's pick up inside. Let's see what the Rebbe says. This is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 lines from the bottom. Third word on the line. Veshivo, so the Rebbe responds, let's see if we can do this. Halo Amram HaTorah, Nason Titein, Velo Yeral Bavcha Besitachal Lo. The Torah says, and we saw this, the Maharal quoted this before, and this is a completely different understanding of how the Maharal understands the Pasuk, that when you give charity, your heart shouldn't feel bad when you give to them. So presumably what this means is that you should overcome any sort of miserliness that you might have and give anyway. That's not how the Rebbe understands the Pasuk. He says, V'hadiktukim rabu. So a lot of people give a lot of explanations. Aval ha-pshathu, I think as follows, that this is what it means. Kizeshin nosen laha'ani b'toras rachmanus. If you give to a poor person out of compassion, eino b'chlal tzedakah. That's not considered charity. V'hu kimo she mavri gufo she'enu yachol lisbol od rachmanusov etzorosov. What does it mean when I give you because I feel empathy? It's because I can't deal with that empathy, right? Think back to what Batson said. It's that egoistic motivation. I'm doing this because I don't want to feel bad. That's why I'm helping you. He says, that's not tzedakah. Uvezet tzarech litein tzedakah kama pa'amim ad shelo yera levavcha. So I have to give tzedakah numerous times to the point where, not that I don't feel miserly, but I don't feel compassion. I don't feel empathy. I have to give you over and over and over again till I lose that emotional experience, and that's what he considers tzedakah. Haynu shelo yeh od rachmanos al ha'aniyah makabel. I shouldn't have compassion. Va'az mekayem acharei zeh mitzvah tzedakah. And that is what is the true mitzvah of tzedakah. It's sort of mind-boggling to an extent for a lot of us, but I think this, and I'm not saying that this is the only explanation. I think this is actually out of the realm of normal, sort of the mainstream approach. But I think it highlights our tension here of what we're discussing. When it comes to our emotional experience, what should I be feeling? Should I be feeling empathy? I think most of us would say, yes, empathy is a good emotion, should help us motivate. But the counter to that is, it's not always enough. The emotional experience is not enough. Just wanting to do it on your own because it's the right thing to do is not always enough. Because there's going to be days where we're exhausted, and there's going to be days where I just don't feel compassion because I'm worrying about myself all the time because it's just so hard and stressful, and we get that. But that doesn't mean that you don't do chesed. So we have to know, we have to balance for ourselves, I guess the practical takeaway is that yes, we can debate this philosophically until the end of the day. But for us, what is our motivation? Is it come out of a good place? Great. If I don't feel that, you still got to do it. You still got to develop that personality of action. So when it comes back to, just circling back to our triangle, when it comes to chesed, you have behaviors of chesed, you have thoughts of chesed, you have feelings of chesed. All of these interact with each other, and hopefully what my goal for this morning was is that the next time we do chesed is that we're able to be more shalim, we're able to be more complete in our chesed. It's not just action. Let me think, what am I thinking right now? Do I have enough social intelligence? Am I thinking about the needs of the other person to be able to help them in the way that they need to help them? Is my motivation pure? Is my motivation because God wants me to do that? I have to struggle with that a little bit. It's im. I should want to, but at the end of the day, I have to anyway because it's still a mitzvah. Empathy should guide me, and that's great. But at some points, even when we don't feel empathy, we need to be able to go out and do the chesed anyway. So these three together, the thoughts, the feelings, and the emotions, really could help us live a life of balei chesed, to learn from Rivka, to learn from Avraham, and this way we can learn the the guf, as the Nesiv HaShalom started off with, is that these are the chelkei ha'adam. These are what encapsulate our psychology, the thoughts, the feelings, and emotion, and that can help us serve Hashem in a complete way. I'm happy to take questions. Thank you. I'm happy to take questions if anybody wants, or we can do it afterwards. Thank you guys. You've been a great audience, and we will see you hopefully in the future.